Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy. This is our Thanksgiving episode. I know it's about a week early, but that's just the way our calendar flows. Today, I'm joined by Howie.
Hello, everybody.
And Bobby.
I'm back again.
And I'm Craig. Yes, the holidays are upon us, which means the kids will be off and then back to school, then off and then back to school and then off again. And
it's that crazy time of year followed by the break time, followed by a whole bunch of days in a row where kids are like, why are we in school? There's nothing going on. There are no holidays. This is not fun. So, yeah, it's that time of year.
So you missed last week because of the snow.
I did. I got a great workout in on Monday. I'll tell you that much.
Let me tell you what happened because of the snow. First of all, we got a foot of snow,
yeah.
11 and a half inches or so, which is highly unusual for Western New York this early.
Yeah.
Despite what television says nationwide.
True.
It's very, very early for us to have that much snow and to be as cold as it was.
I didn't care about the snow. I care about the weight of the snow. It was a heavy, wet snow.
I didn't shovel any of it.
It clogged my snowblower multiple times.
Well, let me tell you what happened, though. The second weekend in November, so about mid-month, I always change the water in the hot tub. That way I can go the rest of the winter when it's really, really cold without having to change the water. So yesterday turned into a full day cluster. I empty the water, and so I put the hose on the drain spigot, and I open it up. Nothing happens. I'm like, what the heck? So I'm checking the hose to make sure, and it's kind of a crappy hose. It's just a hose that I found, and I figured I only need it to go 30 feet to go outside the garage door and into the yard.
I'm gonna spoil this story. I'm going to bet the hot tub froze.
No.
Oh, okay.
It did not. Oh, what the heck is going on? So we have cats. So we have the tidy cat yellow buckets for mm-hmm. the kitty litter, and we have probably about 30 of them because we have so much over the last 4 or 5 years of having cats, and we recycle everything. So reuse, recycle. So we reuse these things sometimes. So Patience and I are bailing out the hot tub by hand. Now, the reason I have a hot tub is because I have a bad back. So bailing out the hot tub with a bad back is not good. So I got this great idea. Patience, why don't you put two of those buckets on the hot tub steps? I will take a smaller bucket and dump the water into those, and then you can take them outside. So we did that. It went really fast. And so I walked in the house and let her finish emptying the last bit of water. I come outside, and in our backyard is a huge green spot now because she dumped the water where there was snow. And she goes, and she's being funny, she goes, oh, you have snow in the yard? We don't. How special. Now, the one thing that happens is when you put that much water into the yard, it goes into the driveway, into the sidewalks. Hot water freezes faster than cold water. It was 24 degrees yesterday. So nice. My driveway and sidewalk was pure ice. You could have skated up and down between the house and the garage. I put 14,000 steps on while trying to get the hot tub to work, right?
I think the only person who would have been as step proficient, I was going to use a different word, but you're my friend. The only two people who would have been the wet bandits. They would have been the only two people who would have been.
My,
remember,
God.
They're now the sticky bandits.
Oh, that's right. The original wet bandits. Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. I've seen a t-shirt though. Wet bandits, whatever. Wet bandits plumbing. It's a picture of Marv, skeleton Marv, with his hair spiked up, whatever. Yeah. I almost bought it on the spot. It was online, but whatever.
That was what? Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci, right?
Yeah,
those two.
Was,
yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Was Kevin Arnold.
I have to watch Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2 this Christmas, though. It's required watching in my house.
A week ago, did you guys see Baker Mayfield from the Cleveland Browns in the postgame wearing like a trench coat and a Home Alone style mustache, whatever type thing? And he the memes that flowed out of that game afterwards were hysterical, but the best one was an actual tweet from Macaulay Culkin holding stuff from a Home Depot, and he's just like, I'm ready for you, Baker Mayfield, because people were saying he looked like he was a reject from one of the Wet Bandits. So
nice. You know, it's nice to see that he's still around. I think he's, because he took some time off, went into the art scene, and then did some like art house movies and stuff, and I think he's trying to make a comeback or something.
He was Mila Kunis.
He did. Yeah, he was quite also, a while. Did you ever see the movie Saved with him and Eva Marie? And
our tangent is super early. It's in the middle of a story right now.
Sorry.
And Mandy Moore, Jenna Malone, like a whole bunch of people. If you've ever seen the movie Saved, he's in it, and it's hysterical. But go on.
So we get the hot tub emptied, and we clean it out, because you got to wipe down the walls and all that stuff. And I said, all right, I'm going to go get the hose out. We have a hose that runs from the house under the porch back around. It's a 125-foot hose, so it'll reach out there without any problem. Whoever used the hose last never turned it off at the house. So now my spigot's frozen. So I unhook, and it took two of us to unhook the hose from the spigot. I said, we got to fix the spigot somehow. So I'm down in the basement, up in the eaves of the floor with a hairdryer, because don't be an idiot and use a torch, because that's how you burn your house down. So I have my other daughter, Corlise, outside to tell me when the water starts flowing, because it shouldn't take very long. It was about 4 inches that was frozen, and so not very long at all. All of a sudden, I hear her screaming, oh my God, it's spraying everywhere! Because it's partially got ice in it, so it's shooting up and out.
So it's got the nozzle effect going on.
Yeah, yeah. So I finally get that flowing, and I realize that I cannot get the ice out of the regular hose. So I have two hoses in the garage. So I grab one, the one that I used to try to empty the hot tub. I hook it up. The reason there was no water coming out of the hot tub was because it was frozen.
Wait, so I was right. Or the hose was frozen. Okay, I was not right.
So I crunched that out of there, and I got it to work. I had water flowing through it. So then I got another hose, and I put it in the hot tub, and I ran it out of the garage to meet up to this hose. I was short by about 10 feet to connect the two. So I find a hose in the garage, and my dad left me that says sprinkler hose. And I'm thinking, I probably have lower pressure, but it'll still fill the hot tub. Sprinkler hose is probably, so you're not using so much water when you're sprinkling in the backyard. It's great for the kids. No. It was a soaker hose. There's water shooting everywhere. So
that's awesome.
I go to Wendy. I said, I am going to, there was choice words. I'm going to lose my mind. So she goes, well, I'll grab a hose from my mom's house. She already had her hose taken down and everything would be fine. So she gets the hose. It's in a caddy. So I figure I can hook the hose up to the outside of the caddy and then the other end. So I don't have to bring out, 10 feet. Great. That hose was frozen too. I'm like, are you kidding me? At this point, I'm losing my mind. Like, the neighbors are hearing very special words. If they were in the Navy, they were blushing. So I get irked, and Wendy goes, did you get it? I go, no, I owe your mom a new hose caddy and a new hose. And we probably need a new hose too. What are you doing now? I'm going to Ace and I'm getting a new hose.
Because I just tore the other ones apart.
Yeah. In order to try to unfreeze my mother-in-law's hose, I set it down on the sidewalk and stomped on that to try to break the ice that was inside it. So where the hose goes in, where you thread it on there, is less of a circle and more D-shaped. It's entirely flat on one side.
Nice.
So it's unusable. So I go to Ace and I go, I have a dumb question. And people at Ace, free plug for them, they are fantastic. One in the corner of Walnut and Davison.
Yeah.
They always ask, what can we do for you? I said, this is a dumb question. Do you still have garden hoses? Yes, we're just getting ready to put them away, but they're in aisle 25. So I go there and I go, I could probably get away with a 100-footer, but for $5 more, I can get a 125-footer and not have to worry about it at all. Oh, and it's heavy duty. So I bought a 125-foot hose, hooked it up, put it into the hot tub, and it's a heavy-duty hose. Typically, it takes about 2 hours to fill the hot tub. 40 minutes later, my hot tub's full. I'm like, I should have bought a heavy-duty hose 2 years ago rather than light household duty.
He's like, I'm a bonehead.
It's one of those things where you get what you pay for and you don't realize it until it's much later.
Man. So, and it was so cold. Typically, you go up about 4 to 5 degrees an hour on the hot tub. Well, my kid, number one, had friends over and they sat in the hot tub and broke the shell. So the hot tub cover is like in pieces. It's all enclosed, but it's in pieces, so it takes a lot longer to warm up. It didn't get up to 100 degrees until sometime in the middle of the night. So yeah, that was my winter sucks story for Western New York. Man, yesterday I was cursing Mother Nature with hand signals and vocalizations, and yeah.
I'm mostly with my cursing, the winter story involves the leaves, because they didn't come by and pick the leaves up from the curb. The city didn't, like they were supposed to. They've done it on the other side of my street. But what happened is I've got pretty much every leaf from my trees was in my backyard and my front yard. And so, you know, rake and, you know, a leaf blower. And about 2 hours later, they're all on the curb where they're supposed to be. So they can come through with the front end loader, scoop them up, put them in the dump truck, haul them away. Nope. And then because we got the winter storm when I said we were going to get the storm, by the way, again.
He's bragging about that.
Honestly, I forgot when you said we were going to get the storm. So
when he was talking, he goes, Monday would happen to be the day that we got it.
Oh, okay. That, yeah.
But
technically speaking, it was Sunday and Monday. So you were off.
We got most of the snow on Monday, so
we said significant snow.
Yeah, and that came Monday.
Whatever, close enough, you win. Fine.
So what happens now is we get this 11 and a half inches of snow on Monday, and now it's all piled up on the leaves. They finally bring the snow plows down the road, right, on Tuesday.
And they blast them all back into your yard.
No, they plowed around the leaves. And so now instead of having the street plowed,
it's a one lane road.
It's literally, it's like a 1.5 lane road. And people are driving over the top of leaves. People have put tree branches. That's my concern. People have put tree branches. They've put pumpkins. They put all kinds of yard debris mixed in with these leaves. Now, you know, God forbid there's a significant size branch and you run over it with your SUV or something that's, you know, a little bit lower to the ground than my truck. You might do a little damage. You could, you know, take off a bumper or something.
Could open those airtight, those watertight things in the bottom of your boat and sink the Titanic.
It could. You're talking the bulkheads.
Yes.
That they had that failed because there was a fire that weakened one of the bulkheads. And so instead of holding it, blast it open, and that's what flooded it. But anyway, back to the horrible story. So now I've got a 1.5 lane road instead of two, and people are driving over the leaves and they're just getting,
and they're not slowing down.
They're just getting ground into the road. And I'm like, it looks horrible. Just come pick the leaves up.
I would guarantee that if the leaves are not picked up by Saturday, they're not going to be picked up, because by that point they're going to switch everything over to snow plows.
They can still get the front end, because what they do is they come with a dump truck and a front end loader. Just come with that and get them. You already did one half of the street and there was snow on top of those leaves. Come pick my crap up. It's supposed to be a decent, you know, we're supposed to have a rain and snow mixture mostly throughout the week, but you can still get it done.
I was originally planning on mowing my lawn one last time, middle of last week. So I got the mower going and I get out to the yard. I mow over a, because there's a whole bunch of leaves in my yard. I mean, you guys have seen my yard. And they don't pick up the leaves where I am in the town. So
that's why you have a mulcher.
Right. So I put the mower blade, I don't even remember what height I had of that, but I started mowing and all of a sudden it stopped. I'm like, I got a full tank of gas. I'm good on oil. What the heck is going on? So I started it up. It went about 3 inches and stopped again. So finally I managed to somehow get it over to my driveway and I backed it up against the far end of the driveway, and I started looking at it like, why won't you go? Why won't you turn on? So I walk around. I can't find anything wrong with it. I open up to look at the engine. Nothing's wrong. Then I realize I got a flat tire.
And a flat tire stops your lawnmower?
Yeah. Apparently, a flat tire stopped my lawnmower.
Like, from you pushing it or from the engine starting?
The end. It's got sensors all over it. Like, if I were to get off the mower while it was still on, it would turn off automatically.
Well, that would be because there's a switch in the seat. You have to, you know, have a certain amount of weight.
Exactly. So there was a flat tire.
That's why I carry an anvil, so I can walk alongside it.
Yeah. But I'm guessing that there was a sensor that would not, because if I, like, held certain things in place, I could drive around with it. But the second I took those off, it would be like, yeah, you got a flat tire, and it turns off on itself. So my wife is like, well, we could just call my dad. I'm like, he's got better and more important things to do. Plus, he went on vacation, and now he's back. I'd rather just call somebody, say, hey, listen, take it, tow it, replace the wheel, because there's no little inlet to put air. unless it's on the inside, which makes no sense to me. I don't have the tools to properly hoist it up and do everything that I need to do to change it. So I'd rather just have it, you know, it's an old mower anyway.
Did it come with a house?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Frankly, I'd rather just invest in a zero turn at some point next summer.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And cut the mowing time by about a third.
Should talk to my dad.
Does he have one? Or does he know a guy?
He works for John Deere.
Well, then I'll talk to your dad.
So he knows a guy.
He is the guy. So I left my mower against the outer port. I left my mower where I burned a hole in the garage or in the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
It was sitting on that patch job. And
how's your patch job holding up after plowing the driveway?
Well, since it's sitting right on the patch job, the guy who plowed the driveway didn't plow the patch job.
There you go.
So it kind of protected it. Tuesday morning, I got up to do some snow blowing on my driveway. I even tried to do a little bit on last Monday night, and it clogged my snowblower multiple times because it was such a heavy, wet snow. Tuesday morning, I get up, and my in-laws are back now, but last week, the whole week, my wife and my son were house-sitting for my in-laws. So that snow falls Monday into Tuesday, and I realize, great, how am I going to get my son, and how is my wife going to get to work? So by 6:15, I drive over to my in-law's house, and I tell my son, you need to walk out to the road. Well, and he starts coming up with all these excuses. I go, look outside. Notice, please, that there's about a foot of snow on Grandma and Grandpa's driveway. Your mother's not going to be able to get out yet, and there is no way I'm even going to attempt driving into that driveway because I'll get stuck 3 feet into it. I'd rather have one car stuck than two. You're going to walk out to the road to my car and tell your mother I'll be back for her later. He came out to the car. I got him to the house. They all got on a bus and did what they needed to do. Everything was great. By 7:15, I'm back at my in-laws, preparing to take my wife to work. At least that's what I was thinking. Meanwhile, I get there. Her car is on, and she's like, she calls me as I'm getting out of my car. She goes, can I have some help? I go, what are you doing? She goes, well, I need some help brushing the car off and getting out of the driveway. I'm like, you're not going to be able to move, but okay. So I show up. She goes about 4 feet. Car gets stuck. Okay.
Were you in all-wheel drive and gunning it? Or was she turning?
She had to turn a little bit, and it was not an all-wheel drive. I brought the dogs that she had with her back into my in-law's house. She walked out to my car, which was on the side of the road, and of course she was in slip-on flat shoes, so she was annoyed because she was walking through deep snow. I got her to work, and I honestly don't remember what we talked about, but we were equally annoyed with the whole...
Her feet were cold. It was your fault.
Her feet were cold, and we were just all equally annoyed at the circumstances because at that point in the morning, I hadn't even thrown on sneakers. I was just in my Adidas sandals. I'm like, crap. I'm running through snow like this. This is not smart. I was an idiot for doing that. She was upset for having to walk through everything. So it was just a bad situation all around. Got back home after taking her to work. At this point, it's about 7:45 on Tuesday, which was when you guys recorded last week.
Right.
And I know I needed to get her car shoveled out. So since I knew I had to go back over there and I was going to be spending most of my day there, I warmed up with breakfast and the final episode or two of season 6 of the 100. And then I went over there, and for several hours, I was shoveling my in-law's driveway, got to my wife's car, turned the key on, you know, put it on, drove it over there. One of her employees drove me back to my car, and life was good. I only shoveled half the driveway, because if I were to do the whole thing, I'd probably still be there. It was a long driveway, but got it done. So,
someone was not prepared for snow, it sounds like, or two somebodies.
Maybe three
if you include your kid.
The guy, I did two passes on my driveway right before the plow guy showed up that Tuesday morning, which allowed me to even get out of my driveway. I would have been able to clear my driveway off. My snowblower had been oil changed, gassed up, everything. Problem was the actual kind of snow we got. I was going like at the slowest speed, and it was just clogging. It was so much ice in it. Plus, I had a whole bunch of leaves on my driveway, which was also helping to...
That was probably a problem.
It was also adding to the issue. So
I don't have leaves in my yard, so.
Yeah, you're fortunate.
We know why. We know why.
So anyway, next week will be Thanksgiving.
It might snow, it might not.
It typically, if it's going to snow on Thanksgiving, it's usually Black Friday that it snows, when everyone's trying to get out at 5 o'clock in the morning.
So not only are people going to stab and kill each other trying to get presents for their kids, they can now slip and slide into each other on the roads.
Right.
I'm just going to point out about Black Friday, it's not what it used to be.
Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment, actually.
Yeah.
Because I have something about Black Friday I want to talk about, but...
Yeah, that...
Thanksgiving is a time for family, for the most part. In my family, or in Wendy's family and my family together, you know, the Bacons, what we've done for good God, this will be our 29th year doing it. Somebody's old. It'd be me. We take and look at Christmas and Thanksgiving, and we split it between my family and her family. So on odd years, her family gets Christmas Day, and my parents and my family gets Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving. Whoever gets Christmas Day kind of loses Thanksgiving with us. And so everybody in the family's kind of gotten onto this schedule. So on the opposite years, on the even years, my parents get Christmas Day, and then my in-laws get Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve. That way, we're not driving all over. Because one of the things I said is I'm not driving 15 different places on Christmas and Thanksgiving.
It's too much.
It's just not going to happen. In fact, we bought a big house on purpose, not only so we had more room to run around in and save stuff, but so that holidays could be at our house. Because I don't like going anywhere on the holidays. So this schedule has worked really well for us, and that's what we've done. Now, when I was a kid, it was pretty much Thanksgiving was going to my mom's house, my grandma's house. We might, if the weather was good, run over to Mimi's house, which was my dad's mom. But typically, she did something with the other side of the family, and Thanksgiving was with my grandmother, and my Mimi had Christmas Day, always. That's just the way it always works. So that's why we kind of did the same thing with us. There was always that schedule we knew. And my grandmother really wasn't into Christmas like my Mimi was. But the one thing you're guaranteed when you're a kid was it was either ham or turkey or both, depending on who else came.
I was not guaranteed ham.
I figured that. Both my mom's siblings, one lived in Texas, in Dallas, another lived in Georgia. So we didn't see them all the time, but occasionally they'd come up. And then so we'd have a bigger spread. But being the dorky history type of guy, I would coerce my sister, and not my brother so much because he's 8 years younger, that we should do a skit. And for the month before Thanksgiving, I'd write a skit about Thanksgiving and make props and make my sister act it out and then make fun of her when she forgot the lines.
I'm going to
put it in front of the whole family.
I'm not shocked at that. Are you shocked at that?
No.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense.
So then the big people would play cards, and that's where I learned how to play euchre. I love playing euchre. And the funny story that I have is actually about a euchre game. My grandmother was a card shark. She could beat anybody. And you know what? When she's teaching me how to play cribbage and how to play euchre, she never let me win. She would take me to the town and just thrash me soundly and then laugh when I complained about it. Like, how are you going to learn if you're always winning? So you had to learn how to beat her. When I finally beat her, it was like, woohoo! You know, like, this is a big deal because I finally beat her. Well, I was, I had been about 15 maybe, and she had this beautiful dining room set with these chairs and stuff, solid wood, not any of this press board stuff that we get now. And she was sitting in the chair, and it kind of creaked at dinner time. And so we're playing, and she got a lone hand or something, and she stood up and goes, "That's how you play." And she sat back down, the chair collapsed, and she fell on her ass in the dining room. And I was a jerk. I laughed. And there's a saying in my family. Listen, if you fall because you're doing something stupid, I will help you up, but not until I'm done laughing.
Yes, that makes sense. We don't have that saying, but that's how I kind of live. I'm like, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Good. I'm going to laugh now." You know, it's one of those type of things.
But to see her all of a sudden disappear when you're playing cards, it was funny.
Something similar like that happened to a member of my wife's family. But since it was my wife's family, I'm not going to embarrass her. We had gone out to dinner at the dearly departed DiFilippo's restaurant here in Lockport.
Loved that place.
That place had great food. I loved it. Went to go sit down, and said person went to sit down and just missed the chair.
Really?
Completely.
I've missed a chair, but yeah. It's mostly been because I had Saturday night flu.
Yeah. This was us sitting down. We were just getting seated. No one had anything to eat or drink yet. But
you said you had a funny story. We'll get to Howie later. We'll make sure you get your story in.
Yeah, because I have so many stories about Thanksgiving.
My story happened, I think it was about 2 years ago. My family and I are at my best friend's house down here in Buffalo, and we're doing Thanksgiving. Well, his grandma, my kids always called his grandmother Grandma Grandma, and so I just called his grandma Grandma because I call his mom, right? So Grandma hates sage. She cannot stand the taste of sage. So when you make dressing or stuffing, you put poultry seasoning in it. And so Grandma and I are in there, and we're making the stuffing, and we're using the poultry seasoning, and we're tasting it, and it's all great. Goes in the oven, no problem. Come back to check it. Grandma gets a big spoonful, takes a bite. And she's like, oh my God, that's fantastic. And I was like, oh, well, that's good. You know, because all I really cared about was that Grandma liked it. You know, because if, you know, Grandma didn't like something, she'd probably end your life.
She'd tell you all about it.
Very vocally.
Most grandmas will.
And her choice of words, very vibrant. So Grandma gets another scoop and she's like, here, you got to try this. And I thought that, you know, Grandma was going to hand me the spoon. Well, it was in her hand, you know, she dumped it in her hand. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just pick it out of your hand and try it. Grandma shoves her fingers in my mouth with the stuffing. And she goes, that's better than sex. And I was like, no. You know, it was like, oh my God. Now, Grandma had a history. What makes it a little bit funnier is Grandma had a history of, like, messing with all of my best friend's male friends, right? So we all range in age from, like, 38 to 52. Grandma has pinched everybody's butt or tried to kiss them or something at some point because Grandma was just a dirty old woman. My friend Nick was like, watch out, it's gonna happen to you. And I was like, no, I'm like, Grandma's like 85, that's not gonna happen to me. And then Grandma got me.
Old people still like sex.
I didn't say that they didn't. But I was thinking that, you know, this is not gonna happen. Like, I'm gonna be on the lookout for this.
And ask anyone who works at a nursing home.
I let my guard down, and next thing you know, Grandma's got three of her fingers in my mouth with stuffing telling me it's better than sex. And I was like, I felt so violated.
Because you got stuffed by Grandma.
I went onto the landing of the stairs and curled up in the fetal position and sniffled a little bit. Because I was like, I have been violated. Like, this is wrong. And I mean, it just kind of added some drama to it. I mean, honestly, I didn't really feel violated. I was just like, oh my God, Grandma. Like, finally, you got me.
Kind of like a speechless shock.
Yeah, in a way. But
one of those things where you're kind of embarrassed that I let my guard down just long enough, and she got me. Yeah.
So you were in the military, and you served overseas. Obviously, you probably served overseas during holiday time.
Yeah, I've missed Christmas and Thanksgiving both.
Do they do special things on Thanksgiving Day?
They do it at the Chow Hall.
Okay.
Or the DFAC, the dining facility. We just call it DFAC for short. So what'll happen is, all the units that are assigned to eat at that specific DFAC, generally the company commanders and the first sergeants, along with the battalion commanders and the battalion command sergeants major, will get into their Class A uniform and will serve chow to all the soldiers. So you'll see, you know, the colonel, command sergeant, all of them. They're just dressed to the nines. Everything's brass is polished. The shoes look great. Haircuts are fresh. And they're back there slinging chow, turkey and dressing, right onto your tray. And, I mean, it's nothing. It doesn't sound like it's real special, but when you're in a foreign country and you're not with your family, it's kind of nice to sit down and eat with, like, your fellow brothers and sisters in arms. You know, and then the first sergeant and the commanders and stuff like that, you know, they're feeding you and they're, you know, asking about you. Hey, did you talk to your family? You know, did you tell them hi? You know, hey, how are you doing? You know, and they do what they can to try and make it to where you're not sad or depressed or feeling lonely. So there is a big effort put into it. And obviously, the DFAC is decorated and stuff like that. And there's usually a couple of unit functions that go on. There's usually like a little fundraiser that you do that's kind of fun. Usually you get stuff from like the USO from school kids who are sending you notes, you know, hey, sorry you're not here. You know, we're going to eat plenty of turkey for you. You know, and then they're telling you, you know, hey, go Cowboys, go Packers, go Bills, you know, whoever their favorite, you know, teams are. And so there's a lot of nice things that get done, but it still doesn't replace your family.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're still missing your family, but you're not missing them as much.
Do they do a special menu for the day?
Generally, it's like turkey and dressing and ham.
One of the things we do once Thanksgiving hits, we're terrible at this, but we send out Christmas cards. We typically try to send out Christmas cards to just random soldiers who are over serving overseas. That's kind of one of our things to do.
Yeah, I mean, you can always, you know, do cards and give them to the USO and say, hey, we made a whole bunch of cards and, you know, whatever unit hasn't received cards overseas yet, just please send them out, you know, to that unit and the USO will get them out there. Generally, Fridays is referred to as Red Friday. So Red is an acronym as in remember everyone deployed. because they are not at home or with their family. So there's a lot of things the military and the USO and the VFWs and crap, what's the other one?
American Legion.
They always try to do a lot of stuff. And so does, you know, a lot of Americans and stuff. They try to do a lot for the soldiers, which is nice.
Right.
So
Howie, you didn't have the traditions for Thanksgiving like everybody else as much, maybe?
I gotta be honest. I mean, Thanksgiving to me is a very unique holiday in my memory because I always looked at it as, all right, cool, we got a couple days off of school, and we never really went anywhere. We never really did anything. Very rarely did we have anybody come over to have a big meal.
And your grandparents lived in apartments rather than houses, right?
This is true. My mom's dad and his wife lived in a house in New Rochelle, but we didn't go down there as often as we went down to see my mom's mom, who lived in an apartment in Yonkers, and then we would go with her husband, my step-grandfather, to go to his kids on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I don't remember us ever going down there for Thanksgiving. My dad's mom, she lived in Little Neck, New York for a while, and then when I was about 8, 9, 10 years old, she moved down to Fort Lauderdale, so we didn't go down there that often either. So Thanksgiving was not really the greatest familial holiday other than to say, hey, we're gonna have a meal tonight. Everybody's going to be home. It's one of those times where we made sure that everybody was home. There was one time, might have been my junior or senior year of college, I made sure to get home for Thanksgiving and kind of surprised everybody. Even then, everybody still kind of knew I was showing up, so it wasn't that big of a surprise. Thanksgiving, since I've gotten married, has meant more. My wife and I flew from Des Moines to Buffalo on Thanksgiving week of 2003. We flew on a Tuesday from Des Moines to Buffalo. Wednesday, we went to the town of Ridgeway to get our marriage license. Thursday was Thanksgiving. I got picked up early that morning by my mother, went down to Olean, had a nice Thanksgiving meal with my parents, my grandparents. It was great. Friday morning, I went to actually do some Black Friday shopping. Because when I flew back, I didn't even put two and two together, didn't realize it was Black Friday that Friday. Not at all. I just thought, hey, we're getting married that Friday. No big deal, right? And I didn't have a decent belt or a pair of black shoes, which I needed for Friday night and my pending nuptials, right? So I tell my parents, hey, I got to go to JCPenney first thing in the morning at the Olean Center Mall. And both my parents looked at me like I was from another planet. They're like, are you nuts? Went out, got a couple shirts, got a pair of shoes, whatever. Made it up to where I needed to be, like locally here that Friday night. Said our I do's, and that was that. And we flew back to Des Moines on Saturday. So that was my most memorable Thanksgiving, if you will. Since then, though, I guess some of the fun memories are seemingly I have taken over making the candied sweet potatoes, because the last three or four times my mother-in-law tried to do it before I took over, everybody who was eating them was like, why are these crunchy? These are not supposed to be crunchy. These are supposed to melt in your mouth. And I do it very well to the point where they're candied and they taste wonderful. So now, to me, it's like, all right, what am I going to cook? What am I going to add to the meal? Because we just head right down the block to my in-laws. I have hosted with my mother and my grandmother once or twice in the last couple of years. But to me, it's just an occasion to get together. And the question always becomes, where are we going? Who's getting together? Okay, great. Let me know what I got to make. That's kind of the way I look at it. Plus, and I guess if you want, we could transition to the Black Friday thing you wanted to bring up. And that is, I got married on a Black Friday. And every year after that, I've kind of done some sort of shopping on a Black Friday. And it's gotten to the point now where unless you know exactly what you want and you see it in the ad, it's not worth going out anymore.
Well, it used to be when you were kids, it was 7:30 opening at Sears or JCPenney. Then it was 6:30 opening at JCPenney or Sears. 5 o'clock opening at JCPenney or Sears. Opening 6 p.m. Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I am one of those people who has gone out on Thanksgiving night, and I've gone to either Batavia or Albion, which are two of the least trafficked whatever places out there. I get about, it's to the point now where the stuff I'm getting, I can get online and just not even worry about it.
The thing about Black Friday, my wife and her mom and her sister always go, and they do something for Black Friday. If my sister happens to be in town, then they go. Me, by the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, my shopping better be done because I don't hit the stores again until January 20th. I refuse to go from the Thanksgiving Eve through 2/3 of the way through January. I won't go to the stores. Big crowds like that and pushy people make me anxious and angry, so it's just best to keep me out of the stores. And then the driving after that, throughout all that, out near any of the stores, forget about it. I just cannot handle it. It's better to keep me away from it. So if my shopping's not done, then you're not getting anything.
90% of my Christmas shopping is already done.
Yeah, mine too.
I got up this morning and poured myself a fantastic cup of hot coffee. I went down to my computer and logged into Amazon Prime and did 90% of my shopping.
I actually have to go out for one more gift. And I actually have to go out shopping for it.
I actually have to make my wife's gift and then order part of it online, but I haven't done that yet.
See, I like to get everybody's presents online minus one gift, because then I still have to go out, right? So I get to go out. It's cold. Usually there's snow on the ground. It might even be snowing. And then I get to get one of those vanilla BS things from Starbucks and feel all Christmassy, you know, and listen to holiday music and go, woo, I'm in the spirit of things. And, you know, but usually I go during the day.
Oh, that's the beauty of not working during the day. You can go during the day and it's way easier.
Way easier.
And unless it's a Tuesday.
But see, guess where I have to go? Barnes & Noble.
Oh, I can go there anytime of day.
See? I planned this out. There's a start. There's a Seattle coffee place in there. And they serve those vanilla BS things that I can get. And that's fine because I can enjoy my coffee and I can look all Christmassy and uppity and fit in with all the other people that are out and about.
Now, my wife did some Christmas shopping yesterday online. Last year for Christmas, I got her a cause box. So 4 times a year, she gets a box and she gets to choose what's in this box. You know, winter, spring, summer, fall. Those are the boxes they have. And they have different things. They had like some different clothes, and it cost $200 for the year. So it's $50 a box.
Not bad.
So they have, as a member, they have holiday shopping. So she goes, well, let me just take a look through here so I can find. $197 later yesterday, she's got a bunch of Christmas presents done. And I go, weren't we just talking about how we needed to really rein in what we're spending for Christmas? I mean, I've cut my personal presents to myself to $100.
I don't even get myself anything. My wife asked me what I want for Christmas. So I'm like, I have no idea, so don't buy me anything.
I know I told you what I wanted to do. I don't know if I told you what I want to do. My wife asked me, what do you want for Christmas? I said, 2019, we lost George. I had two classmates who passed away, and I have one other classmate who is very sick. And it's kind of put a sense of mortality into my head. And I said, I don't want you to buy me anything. What I want is you can print up a gift certificate on the computer where we can invite some people and we'll go out. We'll have dinner, maybe a couple drinks, and just hang out. I want to spend time with my friends. That's what I want for Christmas. I don't need, you know, a Blu-ray of this. I don't need a book of this. I don't need anything like that. This is what I want. So that's what I'm asking for from everyone this year.
That is Craig's version of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is...
You know,
yeah.
If you don't stop talking about that, I might get misty. I mean, seriously, there might be tears.
It's a great sentiment, and there's nothing
really
wrong with
it.
No, it's perfect.
It's been a
really
rough
year.
I mean, with the George one, and Rich and I talked about this last week, it still bothers me. So that one hit me hard, but the whole year, and then the news I got this morning. So, you know, it's just...
It's those years. Like, I lost...
That's the reason why...
Both... my grandmothers and my father all within like a 3-year period of each other. So it was just like one right after the other. And so, yeah, I know it all just, it's like snowballs. It just piles up and you're like, what in the crap? And then it's also the silly season, which is, you know, people lose their minds. People get really depressed and things like that. And so, you know, we always want to be on the lookout for that kind of stuff. So, spending time with friends and family and doing things you enjoy is a great way to stave off that depression and turn yourself into a happier person.
And a double-edged sword is when Craig and I go bowling. We've had a terrible season.
But you know what? Bowling is still fun.
It's still fun.
Okay, yeah. We don't swear on this, but have you heard the term dillagaff?
Yes, I understand what that means.
So we've had a terrible bowling season, but...
Exactly. I completely agree.
Does it look like I give?
Got it. Got it. I was sitting there and I was like...
It took me a minute, but I got it.
I'm like, okay, so there's MILF, Gilf, Dilf. There's all kinds of stupid ILFs. And then I was like, wait, that's an AF. And I was like, okay, so I know what the AF is. And I was like, I'm sitting here trying to run through all these acronyms. I'm just, because I'm getting ready to apply for the
You're
master's.
In the military. I can only imagine how many acronyms you already know.
I've probably forgotten more than most people know.
Exactly.
But it, yeah, I'm...
So one of the things I want to do, and I know that you're not drinking anymore, but I thought you still might be interested. I have a box on the counter, and I thought that we could learn how to, this is full mash, make our own beer.
I'll help.
And we'll talk about it on, I know at some point you said you wanted to learn how to do it too.
Well, I have a Mr. Beer kit.
Yeah, that's not the same thing.
I know it's not the same thing. I'm aware of that. And I've done that before, and it's come out very good. I also have the Mr. Root Beer kit, which, by the way, if you ever see it, get it. Make it, and then if you have your own ice cream maker, make your own vanilla ice cream for the summer, and
wait, you have a machine to make ice cream?
Mm-hmm. It's called Children.
You have two coffee cans and rock salt, and you kick that son of a gun through the backyard for 20 minutes to half an hour. That's how you make homemade ice cream. Anything you plug into the wall, fake news. Just saying.
It has the option to plug it in. It's got the crank, though.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a picture. Yeah, what? This is not shenanigans. That was not a shenanigans joke. Stop.
Well, we're going to rollificate the coffee can.
You got to laugh. Yeah, so I have it on the counter so we can make an episode out of that. And we have this kitchen here at our studio so we're not overrun by bacon bits.
Yeah.
And if you need to bring your kids with you for this.
I can only imagine.
They would be playing with the bacon bits at the bacon household.
I can only imagine bacon flavored beer.
I wonder if we could do that.
They've actually made bacon flavored beer.
So this is a pale ale that I got. It was that, or I think the other one was a porter, which was sold out, so I couldn't get the porter. And then the other one was a double IPA, and I like double IPAs, but not enough to make that much of it for myself.
How much does this make?
Two gallons.
2 gallons, okay.
Yeah.
So dads making beer. What about dads making bread?
I can't eat it. I love bread.
I've made bread. I put the stuff together. Push the button and walk
away. Look.
Oh, my God.
Well, look, here's the thing. You can't eat bread. I don't drink.
Right.
And then we could, like...
What am I, the taste tester?
No, what we could do is we could, you know, cure some pork and make some bacon, because then there's one thing that at least each of us can't do.
So after I said, oh, my God, I realized that my smoker's a plug-in smoker. So, yeah. Oops. What? What do you think?
I am not going to apologize for enjoying the conveniences of modern technology.
Okay. But there's nothing like kicking the can around the backyard and making your own ice cream and making a game out of it, too.
No, I never did that.
No?
No.
You got to use a lot of duct tape, because God forbid busts off. You know, the lid comes off, and then you're like, oh, crap, there's a dent.
Cream everywhere.
You know, because you've got the big blue, you know, Maxwell House coffee tin. You know, so there's like, you know, 10 pounds of 100 mile an hour tape wrapped around it because, oh, Sally dented it. Little Billy, get it off the rock, you know, and then, oh, man, it's just so bad.
Now, I got one of those old wooden bucket type things with the metal cylinder in the middle, and you put the ice and the rock salt and everything else around
mm-hmm.
it, and then the hand turning crank. It also has the option to plug into the wall once it gets too thick to spin around, because I got a picture of him doing the ice cream from several years ago, and he's like, I can't do this anymore, daddy. I'm like, all right, fine. So I plugged it in and everything was fine. So it goes for a while, stops, freezes, and there you go. And like I said, homemade vanilla ice cream and homemade root beer was the best root beer float I've ever had.
When I was in Boy Scouts, one of the scout families used to make homemade root beer in a big plastic garbage can. It was huge. They had dry ice in there to keep it cold, and they have a big long ladle, and they'd scoop it out with a ladle. It was fantastic. Now the health department would probably come down and say, you can't do it that way.
Probably. So
why not? You're in the privacy of your own home, and it's for personal consumption.
Right.
Well, he said it was a Boy Scout thing.
Boy Scouts, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what they don't know won't hurt them.
That's right.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so we're going to try to make some beer sometime.
Sometime.
It sounds like a plan.
It's a 2 to 3 week fermentation, so.
Well, we could spend one episode making the beer. We can spend one episode tasting. You and I could taste the beer.
I'll probably taste the beer. I just won't have very much.
That's fine. And then
I can tase you if I think you've had too much.
Yeah. And then,
no.
And then Bobby
I'll
and
just
I,
wait till he's ready to take a sip. And
you know, make sure it goes right across the soundboard.
It'll be like right out of that scene in Dodgeball where, you know, Ben Stiller's got the electrodes hooked up to his body. He's like, I'm going to have to bite his hot dog. That thing.
Oh, dear Lord.
So, yeah. We'll all taste the beer, and Bobby and I will taste whatever bread we decide to make, and then you two can...
He can still... Oh, wait. You sample. You can't have it for a specific reason.
Right.
Not because you're on a diet, right?
Right. We could use the gluten-free flour. I have a whole bag of gluten-free flour. And well, you know what? It makes good bread as long as it's still warm. Once it starts to cool off, it kind of turns crappy. So if you're going to make anything gluten-free, you have to eat it when it's really, really fresh and make just enough.
We'll figure something out.
Well, it's just a matter of making it, kneading the dough, proofing it, and bringing it over. And, I mean, most breads, you know, they don't take super long.
No.
So if you can get over here early enough, it could be done, like, partway through the show.
We'll hear it.
Pull it out.
Right.
Slice it into story. It's just a matter of backwards planning and getting the timing right.
We got to figure out what flavor bread we want to make. Are we just making a basic white bread, or are we going to put some seasoning stuff on this?
We got some seasonings on it, man.
I mean, are we going to do like a yeast bread? Or are we going to put some cinnamon and some cardamom and some other stuff in it?
I'm looking at the experts here. You like to cook, and you watch a British cooking show, so.
I like to cook. I like to bake. I like to grill. I like to make food because I like food.
Yes.
And so I like to know how to make these delicious things, and because my wife is a good cook.
I got to bring some biscotti his way at some
Please
point
tell
this
me
year.
When you're cooking, you occasionally go, bork, bork.
I can't help myself. Like, it just happens. I do it all the time, actually. You know, like you open the microwave, you know, and then you shut it, you know, because you're trying to like heat up some water or something. And you're like, puppity corn to shrimp, bork, bork, bork. You just...
My last note for the night as I stare at my New York Rangers hat here. Did you ever see this ESPN commercial where Henrik Lundqvist was in the lunch line at ESPN Sports Center and he was ordering food from the Swedish chef?
Yep.
That was awesome.
Dude, I went to get my hair cut on Sunday, and the lady who was cutting my hair was singing the Lunch Lady song from Adam Sandler.
Oh, boy.
And what was funny is there was the manager is older than the lady who cuts my hair, because the lady who cuts my hair, we're probably about 3 or 4 years apart. I'm obviously older than her. And then there was this younger girl that was in there, and her and I were the only two that got it. And so we were literally like laughing in their face, like, because they didn't get it. It was so fun. I don't know.
All right, so we have some ideas for some upcoming shows, and we'll see where we go next week with our stuff. I mean, we may change things up a little bit. We were going to talk about Hockey Day and stuff, but we'll see what happens, because we never know. We don't try to plan this at all.
No, it's just
kind of
off the cuff.
It's organically awesome.
There's a whole lot of stuff going on between now and next week anyway, so yeah.
There are no chemicals involved in the production of the show. We are organic.
Yeah.
And on that note.
So for Howie and Bobby, I'm Craig. Thanks for listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. Join us again next week.
The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.